Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Today I want to talk to you about extravagant love. What's that all about? Well, I think we'll discover that because it's amazing how the Lord will use various things that are so practical in a way to show us His love and His abundance of grace in our lives. And so I'll read the verses. I'll start at 36. We'll read all the way through 50. Quite a bit of reading, but I think it'll be well worth the investment of our time as we look at this. Verse 36 says this, and you'll read the following verses, of the alternate verses. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat.
And behold, a woman in the city, who was a sinner, when she knew how Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil,
and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair on her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed him with the fragrant oil. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, Teacher, say it.
There was a certain creditor who had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50.
And when he had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which one of them will love him more? And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair on her head. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil.
Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little.
Then he said to her, Your sins are forgiven. Verse 50 together, we'll read it. Then he said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Let's pray. Lord, today I hope that we'll learn a lesson that needs to be well learned about extravagant love. And Lord, in so many ways, as we're approaching the Advent season of Resurrection Sunday, I pray, God, that there's something will be imparted to us that we'll never, ever, ever forget. Of the extravagant, we call it extravagant love, but Lord, you gave the very best for us. And I pray that through the preaching of your word today, we somehow come to the awareness of how great your love is for us and how great our love should be for others. Holy Spirit, guide and direct my thoughts, the words that I'd say, that these people would hear and they would transform their hearts to a place where they would adapt themselves to expound upon extravagant love. We thank you for all these things. We give all glory to you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said. You may be seated. You know, one of the most things that I think is misunderstood by all of us is the whole idea about giving. And if this were a message on giving and tithing, this type of thing, it'd be a whole different story. But I want to go beyond that particular place because it's pretty easy, or maybe not easy, but once we've dismissed money from our bank account, we can pretty much say, well, I'm good. But I think that God's going to teach us something today, because perspective on giving and what things are misunderstood about wealth and extravagance as it relates to giving, which means this: our perspective on wealth and resources is often tainted by the values that are assigned to them by men. For instance, if I drove up here in a Maserati, you would look at me very strangely. I thought, how does a pastor drive a Maserati? Well, because you gave me a lot of money, that's for sure. But you still got a question. Because we have ideas and thoughts in our mind about extravagance and the way things are done, you know. And so I believe that there's something we can learn. The value of anything is established by the amount that we are willing to sacrifice in order to have it. I could be living in a shack somewhere with outdoor plumbing, and I'm going to have my Maserati. Sometimes you have to sacrifice to be extravagant, but I want to take you to a whole different plane today. Here's the three things we'll talk about. Do you find yourself incapable of adequately expressing your love for Jesus for what he did on Calvary? And isn't it, it's sometimes strange that only around Easter season, or we call Easter or Resurrection Sunday, do we even give a whole lot of thought about it? Pretty much it kind of wanes as the years go on, and we just kind of get into survival mode, and we forget about the opportunity we have of thanking Jesus for what he's done. Second thing is this: is there a limit you have established on your love to communicate your appreciation toward the sacrifice on your behalf? And for some of us, unfortunately, the only time we feel that we are obligated or even inclined to be with the Lord is perhaps on Sunday, or maybe a Bible study, maybe a rooted class, I don't know. But there's something I hope that we'll adapt today to our lives that will change us from every day when the extravagance of Jesus' love would overwhelm us. How about this, number three? Are you willing to express your gratitude for eternal life by humbling yourself in service to others? We're gonna talk about this in two different realms. But the first one we'll get into is the unconditional love is the gospel story. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 39. Here we go. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. Same story we had. And he went to the Pharisee's house and he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. Go on to the next two couple verses. And stood at his feet, and behind him, weeping, she began to wash his feet with her tears, wiped with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Verse 39, just read that one and we'll be done. And now when the Pharisee who had invited saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Ever muttered something under your breath? Say yes. You try to conceal how you really feel about stuff. If you only knew who she was, you really wouldn't be all excited about it. I'm gonna help you today, and me and myself as well. Well, the ultimate goal of believers should be to love Jesus and our neighbors. We should make it our goal to love people who cannot love us back. That's the first thing I want to tell you. And I can't think of a better time of the year. Sometimes we do it at Christmas. I'll talk about Christmas in a minute. But there's something about us that we have a tendency to only love people that we are kind of sure that they'll give us some sort of reasonable response in return. And there's some people you stay away from because they're scary. Some of y'all are scary. You don't look like you want to be loved. And I'm not going to spoil your day. But we should seek to give to people who cannot pay us back. How about that? That's the reason why I have a tough time with Christmas. Christmas is a gift exchange. That's why I said, come over to the house. We're going to have a gift exchange. That means you better buy me something better than I bought you. Then next year I'll catch up with you. Oh, help me. Don't look at me so funny. That's what you do. go online. How much did she pay for that? Y'all can get saved today. Just listen to me. Well, the cultural norm of the times was totally shattered by the woman who brought this precious fragrant oil to a dinner party. Now, let me give you a little cultural background to this. She was not invited. She's a party crasher. Now, I know you folks have never, you know, tried to navigate or negotiate your way into a party you weren't invited to, because you have much more dignity than that. But she wasn't really concerned about that. So it goes like this. Much thought and purpose was put into the anointing of Jesus. And I don't know what her mind was totally at, but I can deduce a couple of things. She knew she was taking a risk. But something that compelled her beyond the risk that she was taking, she says, I got to show Jesus how much I love him. And the fact I wasn't invited shouldn't be an obstacle that I feel is too great. And so I think for some of us, when we come to church, we already have a preconceived idea of how much we're going to involve ourselves as far as worship is concerned. We have a you know, level, and anything beyond that level is just untouchable. I'll come back to that later because I need you to digest that, okay? But Jesus was the only person in the room that the woman was concerned about, and she did not try to hide her emotions or devotion. I wonder if what would happen to me, I'll leave you alone for a moment. If I wasn't so concerned about your response during worship, that how much would I really allow Jesus to know how much I love him? I know we all of us, to some degree, have guarded emotions. I try to do a reasonably good job with it. But you know, right now, I found out something. As you get older, you really don't care. You don't. Now, things I cared about when I was 30, at 71, honey, I don't even care a flying fig. Now, if you haven't seen a fig fly, don't worry about it. But the deal is, we should never be ashamed to express our love openly for the things the Lord has done or is doing for us. And we used to call it, and I think that somehow, I want to give you an assignment. This week, I want you to find, to intentionally share with someone, you don't have to get crazy, but share with someone the testimony of what God has done in your life. If he just gave you a great husband or a great wife or great kids, you say, you know, I'm so thankful that God gave me such a great house or a great home or a great, I mean, testify of the goodness of God. Show some thanks and some praise for God who's done some great things in your life. It'll open you up in ways that I think it's worth, you know, really exploring. So this is kind of a deal that we need to really allow the true depth of things that are going on in our lives. When we truly grasp the depth of forgiveness that we have been granted by the Lord, there's nothing that will seem extravagant or too great to be given to God. Well, religion will always oppose the true sacrifice and love expressed by those captured by the love that Jesus has demonstrated for us. Extravagant, yeah. Now, economically, from what little research I did, the cost of what this woman used on this anointing process over Jesus, according to some, you know, theologians, I don't know how accurate it was, but I think it's probably pretty close. She invested a year's wages to show Jesus how much she loved him. Talk about tithing. She shows a little something. But to her, that wasn't extravagant. To us, we're saying, who would ever give up a year's wages? Depending on how much you love somebody, there's no value too great. Well, the decision to love extravagantly is a response to something that you have received that you know you do not deserve. Anybody feel like that today? You've received salvation and you don't deserve it. Wave your hand at me. The rest of you are lying. Or you're delusional, whichever that applies. Well, true love requires a response of some sort of sacrificial devotion. Last week, my wife showed me some extravagant love. Now, I'm not going to go that way. Because y'all say, what did she do? Leave that alone. But she decided she was going to, now you're going to think this is kind of strange. She was going to, happen to like Hungarian mushroom soup. It's good. So she found this recipe, but let me tell you, that ain't easy to make. You have to wash the mushrooms a certain way, and you can't let them get too wet, otherwise they will, it is a process. She spent 3 or 4 hours making this Hungarian mushroom soup, and she only came up with about 24 ounces. I said, baby, that's some love. Because I'll tell you, I'll get some Progresso, some Campbell's, and throw a little something in it, and we'd be done with it, okay? I said, and I'll tell you, and don't even ask me for a spoonful of it, because that's my baby's love for me. Oh, but not to be outdone. A day later, she's making another little dish, and this will help some of you get perspective. And she made this kind of thing with chicken and with tomatoes and this other type of thing. But it has a flavor beyond belief. And I said, baby, what is this? She says, I know what you're tasting. She says, I said, what? Saffron. For those of you who don't know what saffron is, it takes 60,000 plants to make 1 pound of saffron. The retail value for 1 pound of saffron is $1,300. She mortgaged the house. No, she didn't do that. I said, well, where do you keep that stuff at? But it only takes a little bit. But it makes all the difference in the world. I still don't know where she keeps it, but that's another story. But she added that to it, and the result of it is something beyond belief. But there's a sacrifice involved. Maybe you can't do it every day. But once a person goes to that particular extent for you, it's not so much that you love them more, you say, well, why would you do that for me? All of a sudden, your focus is on the person. The person loves you that much. They'd invest the time and all the effort to do something like that. I need to help all of us today in the whole idea that this woman, in her expression for Jesus, she abandons her dignity to express her love for Jesus. When we choose to show our love to Jesus, it will take on the fragrance. It will take on the fragrance that we placed upon him. In other words, the anointing she placed on Jesus rested upon her. I want to tell you there's a residual effect. That when you choose to anoint Jesus, some of the residual will rest upon you. Never thought of it that way. I was just doing some reading last week. I said, that's right. I mean, this rather extravagant aroma that she's anointing Jesus with came upon her. What you try to give to him, he gives back to you. As you walk around today, when you make up your mind that you're going to give to Jesus extravagantly, you know there's a residue that will remain upon you. The people say, I just can't, you know, the generosity you try to, it just doesn't go away. It stays on you, and you continually want to be extravagant because what you gave to him, he gives back to you. So it's never gone. For you stingy folk, oh, you stingy, yes you are. You stingy, pitiful self. Ain't gonna give none to nobody. That's the reason why you're so stanky. Jesus hadn't rubbed off on you yet. I'm going to leave you alone in a minute. I'm trying. Our desire to give Jesus our very best is a testimony of the gospel. Matthew chapter 26, verse 11 through 13. This is kind of interesting. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have with you always. This is Jesus kind of explaining to the folks, why'd you let that woman throw all that perfume on you? And see, that's an excuse. That is a poor excuse. There are poor people always. Doesn't mean that we don't care about poor folks. That's not the issue. But he says this, for in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Surely I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Whoa! Let me help you understand what he's saying. He says, real, honest, and extravagant sacrifice will never go away. It's a memorial. They're thinking, well, if this woman was loving Jesus this much because he just forgave her sins, that's the whole gospel. It took the very, very best that heaven could afford for Jesus to give up his life so we would have eternal life. The gospel is being preached when someone just gives the very best they have to let them know that, yeah, you're the one. He says, she anointed me for my burial. Let me expound on that a little bit more because I think it'll help us all. So that being the case, it's symbolic of extravagant giving. We carry the aroma of Jesus. The gospel can only go forward when we're willing to give, watch this, without regret. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but there's some of you who regret that you gave something to somebody, especially when they divorced you. Woo, Jesus, he went there. Yes, I did. And some of you are sitting here, you just as mad as a wet hen. I wish I'd never given that no good so-and-so-and-so, and I gave him this thing, and all he did was divorce me and left me with a bunch of bills and a bunch of kids. I'm helping you. Then you didn't give nothing. You just loaned it to them until they made you mad. And you want it back. Somebody gonna get saved today without regret. Jesus had no regrets. Going to the cross, even for people who will not accept the sacrifice, he does not regret the fact that he gave his life for all of us. Let's look at what Mark has to say about it. The world cannot comprehend the level of sacrifice involved in the gospel message. 14 verses 5 and 6. For it might have been sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor. They criticized sharply. But Jesus said, this I like what Jesus gets in the face. Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. The folks that you're kind of, you know, running against, you need to leave them alone. When they've done their best for Jesus, back off. Learn something. Luke chapter 18, verse 22. This is kind of the whole gospel in a nutshell. I'll read the scripture in just a minute. Just leave it up there. Story of rich ruler comes to Jesus. What can I do to inherit eternal life? You know, it says, what does the Bible say? It says, oh, all the scriptures I kept from my youth up, you know, and all the sticker thing. But he says, but this is what Jesus' response was. So when he heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have, distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Look at me. Some of you are holding on to stuff. It's your stuff. And I'll tell you what, you will not make it to heaven. You're destined for hell. Wow, that's a rough subject. This is supposed to be Palm Sunday. Hosanna. But Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Yeah. Is Jesus being light on this guy? He says, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Is there any hesitation in what he's saying? Absolutely not. Because Jesus already knows your value system. You can hide it from me, you can hide it from somebody else, but Jesus knows where you're really coming from. Criticism toward those who are willing to generously give for the sake of the gospel is the enemy's attempt to place a price on it. But the work of the gospel is priceless. I'm going to shift gears and go to another aspect of, I guess, extravagant giving. Jesus demonstrated extravagant love on his disciples. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 12. I'll run through it quickly because I need to make it through this. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that the hour had come that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Move on to the next verses. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose up from the supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself, and after that he poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet to wipe them with the towel of which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. And Peter said, you shall never wash my feet. Leave that up there for a moment. A couple little things I want to remind you of. Jesus, having loved his disciples to the end, he does something that I believe is that we'll experience on this coming Friday night. Now, I'm going to give you some real practical instruction about this in a moment. But I want you to get past the idea of this being a ritual to a fact of this is extravagant love shown to people who really don't deserve it. But Jesus does not evaluate you totally on your response toward the things that we really don't deserve. So the idea is that he does this, and Peter says, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Huh? Jesus is insisting that he washes his feet. And he says, and if you don't let me do this, you're out of the club. That's right. Doesn't make any sense. And I'll tell you why it doesn't make any sense. Because probably, I don't know whether it's for sure or not, he had already washed Judas's feet. Wow. Let me finish reading this and then we'll get into the rest of this. He says, well, then Simon Peter says to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. The guy's a knucklehead. I can come to give you a bath. Go on to the next few verses. I'm going to fix this in a minute. Okay. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? I'm going to answer that very question at the very last of our message today. Well, Jesus showed his love to his disciples to the very end. It means that love that Jesus has for us transcends all the things we face today and will ever face. Not only for today, but the things that are in your future. And along with that, Jesus' love for us will navigate our self-consumed attitudes that can overtake us when we focus on ourselves. Moi? Focused on me? Jesus will give us the confidence of knowing and believing that our destiny is certain and our purpose is secure. But the act of foot washing has everything to do with extravagant love in need of expression. That's what it's about. Some of you, when she said, foot washing, who gonna wash somebody's feet? Well, I'm definitely not gonna be there on Friday night. Not me. Oh, no, baby. No. They gonna wash my feet. If we had an ugly foot contest, I would win. I have several corns, a bunion. Ugly feet. They're clean. Ugly. Ugly. U-G-L-Y. I have no alibi. But they're ugly. But I'll tell you what, they take me where I need to go. Wonderful feet. Best ones I've ever had. But it's not about that. I want you to get over yourself right now. Matter of fact, look at you. Put your finger right here and tell yourself this. Get over it. Thank you. We're good. Because we get our focus on the wrong thing. And I'm going to tell you very quickly, I'd finished this message, and then the Lord, I had all wrapped up nice and tidy, sitting on my desk, and the Lord says, now let me tell you what I want to say. I have 3 points when we're done that Jesus gave me after this was all done. Slap, slap, slap. But anyway. Humility should be the least of the things that we should consider when it comes to foot washing. Well, if I have to, I'm going to humble myself and wash somebody's feet. Jesus knows that's hard for me to do. You know what? How dumb are you? It doesn't have anything to do with that. You want to know how humble you are? There you go. We will only discover the value of it after we allow the Spirit to reveal to us the condition of our heart toward those things, those we choose to serve. Oh, it's about serving people. Matter of fact, I'll give them a car. They can go over to the health. They can go to the spa over there and get their toes done. And you'd be happy, honey, I'm going to give you a gift card. And you go to Dosha, and Dosha will take care of you. If you don't know what Dosha is, you know, Julia will tell you. She loves me. Love is always a choice and must seize the opportunity to express it with extravagance. Moving on, God's gift of Jesus to us should move us to a loving service any chance we are given. The joy of serving one another is an opportunity to demonstrate by example the love that Jesus gave to us. You know what you're doing? Forget about the water, forget about the towel, forget about the basin. But think about how much Jesus loved you. And all of a sudden, the atmosphere changes. Because remember, the Bible says, and he loved his disciples to the end. If any person, they should have been lining up saying, Jesus, we need to wash your feet. Did they do it? No. Because sometimes we are so focused on us, we can't see anybody else. And so what Jesus is trying to transfer to us is the spirit that there are other people in this world beside you. Well, God's gifts of Jesus to us should move us to loving service any chance we're given. We'll only understand the power of serving after we experience it, not before. Well, what does that mean? The example that Jesus showed us can only be grasped with a heart that is willing to love unconditionally. Now, that was a word that was, I remember when that kind of came on the scene, probably about 35 years ago. They had seminars on unconditional love. And people would sign up for, I just want to learn how to love unconditionally. They should have brought out some basins and some water and start washing feet, and that we'd find out who was really want to know. I want to know about conditional, but that I ain't into that, okay? Because we all have parameters of what we think it looks like. I had to hasten to this because I want to get to these last few points. Judas allowed Jesus to wash his feet without protest. Now you got Peter and you got Judas. Why did Judas do that? Let's examine this thing. People will accept our gifts of extravagance knowing they are unworthy. Ever been chumped? Oh, taken advantage of. I'm sorry. That was one of those street words. Been taken advantage of by someone, and you know they did it intentionally? How did it feel? Well, if I had known that, I never would have done. Let me reverse engineer that. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him, but he washed his feet anyway. I want to take you to a deeper level of understanding of people that you know ahead of time, but God says, go ahead and let them do it. Here's a revelation. Life will never be fair. Jesus told me that. I was supposed to tell you. People will not always treat you fairly. People will rip you off. Now, you don't need to put a sign on that. Go ahead, rip me off. Jesus told me it's okay. No. I didn't say that. But if it happens to you, do not take that as an indictment. Because God has got you. Well, the thought process goes a little further. We must be willing to give knowing that some will abuse our gift. If we desire to be like Jesus, we must serve like he served. Wow. How about this little piece? We must not jump to obvious conclusions as to the significance of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. John chapter 13, verse 12. This will help us. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments, he sat down and said to them, "Do you know what I've done to you?" You're thinking, huh? We just washed our feet. If that's all you get out of it, you'll miss miserably what Jesus is trying to accomplish in you. And this is where I just skipped kind of the last part of the message. It's going to help me finish right on time. I'll skip to 3 points. So, Daryl, I have those 3 points that I gave you, and I'm going to just kind of get to that just in just a moment. But foot washing was more than a humble servant being a humble servant to benefit others. Secondly, the depth of Jesus' teaching is found in the desire that we should have to look for opportunities to show love in practical ways. To look for opportunities. Number three, we should not allow our personal problems to prevent us from serving others in loving ways. We can all have excuses. We can all have ideas. We try to cover them up with, I just don't want to be involved in some religiosity. Nice word, false reasoning. Because Jesus makes this particular blatant comment. He says, "You know what I've done?" He says, "You can go do the same thing." Wow. Here's the last three things, statements the Lord gave me toward this. He says, "Do you know what I've done to you?" Number one, before you get what you want, give someone else what they need. Woo! Take your focus off of you and ask Jesus, what do people need, and be willing to give it to them. Are you willing to give people what they need, even if you don't get what you want? Number two, sinful acts toward you are no excuse to refrain from doing or being or accomplishing God's purpose in your life. If you're holding back at this point, I'm not going to do anything else till God just kind of levels the playing field, and I get out of this place of of, you know, deficit. Let me give you the last one as the worship team comes up this direction. You really won't know humility until you practice it unrehearsed. What does that mean? I think it's reasonable for me to say this. And you can correct me, send me an email. It's fine. I believe when Jesus was at the place where they had finished dinner, it says after dinner was over with, I believe the Holy Spirit, his Father, talked to him and says, "Son, wash your disciples' feet." I don't think it was some rehearsed event. I don't think he plotted out days ahead of time. It was something spontaneous from his heart because he loved them so much. Why am I saying all this? We're at the advent of time of really finding our place in Jesus. But I want to tell you how much that Jesus loves you right now in your present condition, in your present state of mind, in your present circumstance. There's nothing Jesus is withholding from you. Bow your heads, everybody, everybody. So I want to speak into your situation and even prepare hearts of people who may have been hardened because of circumstance. Right where you sit in this room today, there's some of you sit here with I wouldn't call it heaviness of heart, but angst in your spirit that says, you know what? I've been hurt, used, abused, taken advantage of all my life. And I'm not willing to get involved with people on any level where it requires of me the humility of setting myself to be hurt again. As your head's bowed, as your eyes are closed, all of the feet that Jesus washed, when it came down to it, when Jesus was on the cross, none of them were around. They were all gone. So if you want to see this as an exchange of I'll do this for you if you'll do something for me, you will never get healed from your hurt. All your heads are bowed. I want to talk to some people here who've gone through bad relationships, who have gone through a bad marriage, who went through a divorce, who are in a bad relationship. And somehow you're holding Jesus accountable for that. I want to minister healing to you today. I want you to move past the pain to the forgiveness of letting go of that and allow Jesus to bring you to a place where you will receive his love, his grace, and his forgiveness in your heart. I'm going to pray for you. At the end of my prayer, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to Jesus, to leave that burden here at the altar and allow God to make you whole. Father, in the name of Jesus, this wonderful group of people who've gathered here on Palm Sunday. In the background, you can hear the Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But those same people that waved those palm branches were the ones that called out for him to be crucified the next few days after that. Lord, would you help us to see the fickleness of people who we were relying upon, and we believed what they said to us, and we found out it just wasn't true? Would you allow us to accept the healing? Would you allow us to extend forgiveness to people who have really hurt us? But most of all, Lord, can we be a candidate for your forgiveness for all the things we've done against you? Lord, show us the pathway to righteousness, the pathway to freedom, to be forgiven, to be loved by you. His head bowed and eyes closed. Jesus is speaking to several people here today. If God is speaking to you right now, then you need to respond to this altar call today. And I don't care what it's for, but you know that Jesus is directing you to come down here and to do some business with the Lord. that will relieve this pressure and this stuff off your heart. I want you to lift your hand right now and say, Pastor, I need to get some stuff taken care of today. Just lift it up high, wherever you are. That's right, lift it up high. It's okay. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Other people here say, you know what? I don't need to carry this another day. God bless you, sir. Yeah. Anybody else? I see you back there as well. In a moment, we're going to stand. And don't you worry about the person to right or to left of you. I want you to focus in on what Jesus is going to do inside of you. And you come to this altar today, and I believe that God is going to restore your heart. God's going to save you. God's going to deliver you. God's going to heal you. God's going to set you free. Whatever you need today, Jesus has got it for you. Everyone stand to your feet right now. Those that will lift your hand, step out right now. Come down this altar. Come in Jesus' name. That's right. Step out in Jesus' name. That's right. Come on in Jesus' name. Come on in Jesus' name. That's right. Come on. Come on.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.